hallelujah right where you are. Continue to praise and continue worship. Let's continue to invite this atmosphere of praise and worship as the man comes to deliver God's word.
Leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die?" That's what's happening in the heart of God's people right now. We face confusion, oppression, and we don't know what's going to happen, and the church has been under attack, and at this time it was a famine in the land, and they looked at one another and they said, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is there and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. We must go where there is a possibility. That's what you're doing with revival. Know that everything in the flesh would say no, it's not a good idea, and it's not time to do that, and the world would say no, there would be too many people together, and all of those things. But let me tell you, when the church says I'm willing to walk in faith and go where there's a possibility, praise God. You see, we can get down and out like those four lepers and look at the world and the situation and the famine that was in the land and all of the horrible things that were going on. You can read that story. They were eating one another's babies in Samaria, in the gate of Samaria. And those lepers looked at one another and said, well, if we just sit here and do nothing, we're going to die. And if we go there, there's a possibility something might happen, praise God. And that's what you're doing with this revival. You are walking in faith and saying, oh, we're going to move forward either way. And there is a possibility that God will bless us as we move forward. And God's going to give us a miracle. That's what happened when they got up that day and they started walking towards the camp of the Syrians. There was a great sound that came forth as a rushing, and it ran that army out. And they walked in and God gave them the spoils. And he blessed them for moving forward. He blessed them for not just sitting there and dying, praise God. I'm telling you, something has to rise up within the church in this day and time. We're not just going to sit here and die, praise God. Though it was those few that said, we're not going to sit here and die. We're going to go to where there's a possibility. It was their actions and their movement which sustained thousands of people. As they went back to the city and they said, you've got to come and see what we have found. Share this with us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just pray over your revival that's coming. Jesus. the blessings that you have blessed us with, Lord, the things that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. I pray that you would bless them when they step out in faith, and that you would bless them when they decide we're not just going to sit and do nothing, Lord. God, we believe you are a God of possibilities, Lord, and when we go, that you could make a sound that would drive away the enemy that goes before us in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Be seated. Appreciate the opportunity to be here today. And Pastor McCoy's absence. Love and appreciate them. And know that God is going to do something great here. Praise God. I was thinking 20 years ago, I was running drugs from this neighborhood, from here to Lebanon, right down the street. I believe it's Sunset, right? Is it Sunset? Right down here in these apartments. Me and my friends would come up here and get various drugs and take them back to Lebanon. 20 years later, I'm running the gospel back and forth. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. We're having wonderful revival in Osage Beach. That's where I'm at now. And God has blessed us. We are expanding, tearing down walls, and the church is growing, and he's adding to the church. We have good reports. Praise God. I'm going to preach to you today about the gift of God. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." The gift of God is the solution for the curse of man. Praise God. This is going to be a gospel message today. Someone needs to hear it. Romans 5:6 says, "By the disobedience of one Adam, sin entered into the bloodline of humanity." Or actually, I need to read that. Do they have that up there? Romans 5:6. Praise God. "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would have dared to die." Praise God. Let me find it here. I'm going to keep going in that scripture, starting at verse 6. It's a lot to explain there. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were yet in sin, while I was busy doing what I was doing, Christ died for me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hear me, somebody. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have not received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound in unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. By the disobedience of one Adam, sin entered into the bloodline of humanity. The scripture says, death by sin. At the point that sin entered into the world, death passed upon all men. It's a cancer that passed upon through the bloodline of humanity. Sin leads to death. The scripture we read says the wages of sin is death. Every human that was conceived following Adam and Eve has been born in sin. By the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. The Apostle Paul expressed this reality when he said in Romans 7 and 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that what I would, that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find it then a law that when I would to do good, evil is present with me." The good that we would do, praise God, we often do not do because of the sin that is dwelling within us. Praise God. What would we do if we could get rid of the sin that's dwelling in us? We don't have to continue in sin because grace abounds. If we are dead with Christ, we shouldn't live any longer in sin. Praise God. Death is swallowed up in victory. To be evil is always there present, and we are working against it, and we are working against the flesh. But death has been swallowed up in victory, and it shall have no more dominion over us. Even though Paul, he felt there was no good thing within him. And I think that was a good sign of humility. He felt like there was really no good thing within him and was subject to evil being present when he was trying to do good. I'm telling you, we all got the same kind of war and the same kind of story going on. Really, in our flesh, there is no good thing within us. He said, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. While yes, there is the inevitable sin that we must war against, yet there is another law, and we must bring in every thought into the captivity unto the obedience of Christ, casting down imaginations, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, having a readiness in our spirit to revenge all disobedience. I'm giving you a lot of word, a lot of scripture today. There is another law. There is another way. While sin would lead us to death, and it would still kill and destroy everything in your life, and sin would devour, God will deliver, and God will defeat, and God will set free. Praise God. God gives when He doesn't have to. Now, we all have witnessed and experienced the effects of sin. Many of us have lost years that we cannot retain, given to nothingness. Sin is destructive. It causes physical handicaps. I have a sister who she started using the needle several years ago, and now she's got some permanent damage going on. Thankfully, I never went to the needle, and I would never do that. I hate needles. But a lot of people, a lot of drug addicts I see that take that step, they really never recover fully. I've seen it, and I've experienced it, and it can cause physical handicaps and emotional scars, not just that, but all kinds. Kinds of sin can cause these things. Painful memories, some of those things going through your mind right now, hurts. It hurts those that we love, and we're really not concerned about other people when we're living in sin. Some have watched the lives of those around you be cut short. My father, he killed himself of a drug overdose. And we watch and we see the price of sin. Sin is destructive. Sin doesn't care who it hurts. It doesn't care who it kills or what it destroys. It's the hardest way that one can choose to walk. Proverbs 13 and 15 tells us, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of a transgressor is hard. It's hard to live slave to something that only produces death. The wages of sin is death, but the scripture says, but. That means that we are given two outcomes to choose from. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The payment for disobedience, for the disobedience of man, is death. But the gift of God, praise God. Death does not have to be in our destiny. Thank you, Jesus. That's the message. We need to tell these folks in this neighborhood. You need to tell your neighbors. Death does not have to be in your destiny, but there is a gift of God. James 1 and 17 says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or neither shadow of turning. I'm talking about a good gift, a perfect gift, a gift that comes from above, a gift that only God can give. It doesn't change, but it remains. It's eternal. It's everlasting. There is a gift from God to all humanity, and it is eternal life, everlasting, praise God. We need to think about salvation today. Someone you know needs the gift of God. Maybe you're here today and you need what I'm talking about. John 3 and 16, it gives us a glimpse of the motive of God giving the greatest gift he has ever given to humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus had told Nicodemus a few verses earlier that except a man is born again of the water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So therefore, it must be understood that one must believe in him to not perish and should not perish because he has been told what to do. You see, the world grabs that John 3:16 and they make a salvation of it. And they leave out the part where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and says, except a man is born again of the water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So from that point on, you ought to know what you're to do. And by the time you get to verse 16, you should not perish because you've been told what to do. Praise God. Being born again of the water and spirit, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Jesus had first said, except you do this. Then later he said, you should not do what? Perish. None should perish knowing that God hath given himself in the likeness of sinful flesh. Romans 8 and 34 says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son. The Son is a manifestation of the Father in the flesh. In the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In the likeness of sinful flesh. in the likeness as we are. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 1 John 3:3 says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Praise God. "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." To have the knowledge of God, to really know God today, praise God, we've got to get rid of sin that's in our life. He went on to say, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That's one of my favorite scriptures right there. "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." The greatest gift of God, the greatest gift that God has ever given to humanity, was the flesh of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let's praise Him. For becoming blessed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Through him was atonement made for our sin. Him that knew no sin. And while we were yet in sin, while we were yet sinners, praise God. Romans 5:6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." He didn't just die for the saints of God. He died for the ungodly, praise God. Those that look at you weird, and those that say hurtful things to you, and those that are living in sin, Jesus died for them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, the wages of sin is death. And if we choose to continue in it, the payment of death is what we can expect to receive. But we must also believe today that there is a gift of God. A gift that gives freedom, a gift that gives salvation, a gift that gives peace to a troubled heart, praise God. In Luke 1:79, speaking of this gift, speaking of Jesus Christ, he is a gift to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. The world can give you a lot of things. The world can give you a lot of things, even a lot of temporal pleasures that you may enjoy for a season, but the end thereof is death. Any pleasure that is found in sin, it's going to run out, and it's going to leave you dead. But the gift of God today is eternal. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's life that never ends. It's life that keeps going and going. It's life everlasting, praise God. I know to many of us this may be elementary today, but to the world, they need to hear this message from the church. They need to hear the answer that we can give for the hope that is within us. I would tell you that eternity with Jesus is not worth any temporal pleasure the world may offer you. Now in John 4:7, there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and he said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence thou hast thou that living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to life everlasting. John 4 and 15, he said, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now let me paint a picture for you today. This woman had been coming to this well for a very long time. Many trips perhaps. Maybe every day they made trips. Maybe one in the morning, one in the evening. I'm not sure. But when the well ran out, or when the water ran out at home, it's time to go back to the well. I'm talking maybe even for generations. She'd been visiting this well. Her family had been coming to this well. This well had become essential in her life. She even questioned Jesus. She said, are you greater than our Father which gave us the well? Jeremiah 2 and 13 says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. We in our sinful nature, we're apt to becoming dependent on our own wells. Maybe it's what mom and dad did our whole life, and that's what we watched at home, and that's the well that mom and dad would visit every day. Maybe for generations our family has visited the well, praise God. I'm talking about the wells of sin we go to every day, because that's what we know, and that's what we've watched, and that's what's been feeding us for years and years. And that's what's become the nourishment to our flesh. But this was a different day for the woman of Samaria, a woman from a place that was looked down upon, a woman who no doubt had many heartaches in life, a woman who had tried many wells along the way. She had in fact been married 5 times, and Jesus read her mail that day and said, the man you're with isn't even your husband. She knew what heartache was about. She knew what it was like to go time and time again and end up empty. I know that someone can relate today. Where I've come from is not a happy place. Where I come from is an empty place. The home I grew up in was not a good place. The well that I watched my father go to every day was not a good well. A woman who had tried many wells along the way. I've tried those wells. I know there's testimony in this house. You've tried those wells, the wells of the world, and you just keep coming back and going back. Maybe that's what you're taught growing up, and when there was a need, well, that's the well that daddy goes to. That's the well that our fathers have been visiting for generations. So what do? That's all I know. We go to the same well. But this day when the woman came to the well, it was different. It was just her alone with Jesus. You've got to get alone with Jesus. You've got to get alone with Jesus, praise God. And Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't be worried about this well. Praise God. John 4 and 14, he said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And this woman, this person who had obviously been looking in all of the wrong places, only finding wrong answers. I'm telling you, you don't go through life and be married five times and not be searching for something. This woman had been looking in all of the wrong places, as many of us have done. She said, "Sir, give me this water that I may never thirst again, and that I don't have to come here and draw. Sir, I don't want to come back to this well anymore. It's only left me wanting more and more, and I've got to come back every day, and it leaves me empty over and over." I'm telling somebody, there is a gift from God today. Hallelujah. This day was different. She had realized and understood that this well only lasts for a while. Praise God. Maybe you're here today, or maybe you're watching online today, and maybe someone's visiting the well right now. You know, people can sit at home and they can live in their sin and they can watch church online. This day was different. This woman who had came from a place that it was looked down upon and no doubt had some issues in life and was tired of this well. Who knows? I really don't know how old she was at that point, but she said, "Our fathers have been coming to this well." Chances are she had grown up her whole life walking to that well, back and forth, and that's all she knew. And then one day there's a man there and begins to tell her, "You don't have to come to this well anymore. You don't have, just because your fathers came to this well and that's what they did, you don't have to do that. Hear me, somebody, just because daddy was a drunk or a drug addict, you don't have to do that." And so when Jesus started talking about a well that you can get a drink from and you don't have to come back and you don't have to find yourself empty and come back again, she opened her ears and said, "Tell me about this. I want to drink of this water. I don't want to be empty anymore." Praise God. If you're living in sin and you keep going back and finding yourself empty, I'm telling you, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's everlasting. It keeps going and going, and it keeps giving and giving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hear me today. If thou knewest the gift of God that is present here, you wouldn't go to those broken cisterns. We wouldn't forsake the fountains of living water. We wouldn't go back to what's left us empty time and time again. Jesus is God's greatest gift to humanity. He died, he gave himself a sacrifice for the sins of the world. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, Romans 5:17, much more they which receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. We can be buried together in the likeness of his death through repentance and baptism. And we can walk in newness of life when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. The church can never get away from this message. This is what changes lives. Praise God. This is why I'm here today, because someone preached about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Someone preached about the gift of God.
Now see, even a worldly person can begin to understand as they look around and they see people fade away and fall and die. They can understand that the wages of sin is death. They can come to an understanding that this is killing me. It's killing people I love. It's taking away everything I have. But it takes the saint of God to step up and say, but there is a gift of God. It takes someone to say, yes, the wages of sin is death. You understand it. But the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Today would be a good day to crucify the old man, to find a place of repentance, to make a profession of faith in baptism, and let the blood of Jesus wash away your sins. If you're watching online, you need to get to the house of God. You need to find a man of God and say, tell me about this gift. Tell me about this well that I don't have to keep going and going. Praise God. Romans 6 and 11. Praise God. It says, be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. As he presented himself a living sacrifice for all humanity, can we awaken and present ourselves a living sacrifice unto him? Can we stand to our feet today? The greatest gift that has ever been given to humanity, but also the greatest gift that we could ever give another. There's nothing more rewarding than what I'm doing, what we've done the last 3 years, to go and start a church in the city of Osage Beach where there's not another church for 40 miles, or apostolic church, and there's never been one there. And to begin to see generations change, to begin to see babies being born that will not have to live in houses like I did and some of you have. And begin to, there's nothing more rewarding than that, and begin to see the cycle of sin broken in families and in their lives. Praise God. I don't know the things that you have received in life, but I know the only things we can receive from sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is life. Thank you, Jesus. Will our musicians go ahead and come? If you're tired of visiting those wells, generations. And I'm sure everybody's got a picture in their mind or someone you're thinking about right now. They've been visiting those wells over and over. Some of you are here because you decided and you met a man, Jesus, one day and said, I want to drink of what you have so I don't have to keep coming back to this well. Hallelujah. You see, the world is full of broken cisterns that hold no water. Jeremiah confronted him and said, you've hewn down broken cisterns that hold. That's the best that we can do. That's the best well that we can come up. It's not going to hold water. And it's, we're going to have to go back and we're going to have to redig. It's going to leave us empty. About. Maybe it's a pill bottle above your toilet right now. You keep going back to that thing for answers, but you got to keep going back, and you got to keep going to the doctor to get another prescription, and it just keeps coming up empty. Hear me, somebody. The world, there's so many wells in the world. Pornography. Just name it. It can become a well in your life. It can become something that you're going to over and over to draw from and trying to find a fulfillment. But you'll find yourself empty and you'll find yourself going back and going deeper. Trying. trying to come up with a bigger pail to get more, but no matter how big it is, you're going to come up empty again and again. Maybe it was you, and you've been visiting that well for generations and generations. Drink. He can give you a drink today, and you don't have to go back to that well when you leave here. You don't have to go back to that well. Maybe you're watching online. You don't have to go back to the bar down the street. Whatever that well may be. Brokenness. Maybe that's not you, but maybe you've been battling the same thing for 10 years, 20 years. Today is a gift of God. He will not leave you empty. Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands in Jesus' name? Lord, fill us today. Give us a drink today that we might not run dry. I pray that you would break any cycle of sin that is in our Jesus, and any mentality we may have because we've watched our fathers, we've watched those before us, God. You are the breaker today, Lord, and there is nothing too hard for you. There is no sin that you cannot conquer. There is no, oh, in the name of Jesus, come on, somebody. There is nothing too hard for God. I don't care how many years you've been going to that well. He can give you a drink today, and you don't have to go back there today. In the name of Jesus. Someone be set free in the name of Jesus. We pray that way right now. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over sin that is in this room. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over sin that may abound online right now. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you would give someone a drink today that they have never had before. Fill someone with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Never runs dry. The world will leave you empty time and time again. But today you're at the well of living water, everlasting life.